So the secret is a cold skillet. You want to, I actually like to put the skillet in the fridge first, and then you take it out and you place the strips side by side, put it over a medium flame, and eventually you'll start to hear the bubbling and the snapping. Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm teaching you how to cook bacon. Teach bacon.
This is a tech podcast.
What do you mean?
We talk about technology and then maybe a little food at the end.
You mean like computers and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm in big trouble.
This is Tech Bacon, a weekly conversation about the latest in technology, new media, and random food stuff. I'm your host, Scott Gold, and this is episode number
32.
Welcome to Tech Bacon, everybody. Good morning. It is Sunday, October 2nd. And this morning, I'm joined by a special guest. I'm Scott Gold, and this is...
Jamie Dooner.
Jamie Dooner is going to join us for a little bit of a format change this morning. We're going to... Mr. Dooner is not the technophile that I am.
So, I'm a somethingophile.
But... Well, we don't want to... I don't want to know. So we're going to kind of, you know, mix it up a little bit. Technology, Jamie's going to... jump in when he can, ask some questions, give the layman's perspective.
Why'd you say it like lame? Why did you emphasize the lame part of it? Lame man's?
Hey man, I only speak the truth.
Layman's.
I don't know the etymology of that, but I'm sure it means lame man.
So, right, you know. Okay. Well, I do have a little bit of a limp.
Ba-dum-bum. All right. This week, we have interesting stuff. I was trying not to say what I say every week. It's a big week in technology. Every week's always fascinating. So the much anticipated announcement of the Kindle tablet was this week.
Mm-hmm.
And called the Kindle Fire. What do you think of that name, Jamie? The Kindle Fire.
I like the name. It's, you know... fits with the brand,
right?
Already
the kindling and, to make the fire.
It's exciting. It's dangerous.
Is it really dangerous?
It's, and you know, I watched the spot that they are showing online, and they have a, I think it's a Voltaire quote or something that was the inspiration for using
the name
Kindle to begin with, and fire is in that quote as well.
Oh, so it makes sense. Yeah. Right? So they announced the Kindle Fire. They also released a couple other new Kindle devices, the Kindle Touch, a new basic Kindle, and you know, it was like a whole relaunch of the brand. The Kindle came out with some expected specs. Like, these were things that had been talked about. There was a lot of rumors already. So it's a 7-inch device.
Mm-hmm.
And which, you know, an iPad is a 10.1-inch display. So this is a 7-inch, much smaller than something like an iPad. But they are seeming to be going after the iPad crowd. Now, you have an iPad, right?
I have an iPad and a Kindle.
And you have a Kindle.
Yeah.
So what do you think about this as far as a replacement for either or an addition?
Well, I don't know that the Touch, as neat as it is, I don't know. I'm not quite sure on the e-ink specifics or anything. Is it
right? It's better e-ink. I don't know if you like online. They have the demos. The page turning is ultra fast,
mm-hmm,
compared to even the last version of the Kindle. So they've definitely
on the
that.
Fire or on the other two?
Oh,
is the Fire just
the Fire is just
color?
An LCD.
Okay,
it's an IPS screen. So it's you know, it's just your typical tablet touchscreen device, you know,
right?
It's not e-ink at all, so it's backlit and everything.
So I don't know, like, I really like the size,
the 7-inch size.
Yeah, I think that's great. It's perfect for, you know, you could stick it in your pocket, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
And for reading in general, that I think the iPad is a little heavy. Sometimes if you're reading anything more than a magazine article, you know, anything more than 10-15 minutes, like you don't want to,
right. It feels heavy in your hands.
Yeah, when you're reading a paperback, sometimes you hold it with one hand. You know, there's several reasons why you might end up holding a Kindle with one hand.
a new Kindle or an old Kindle?
A new Kindle, especially the one with the color screen. Like.
Well, speaking of that, a couple...
Don't pretend like you've never done it, Scott.
I don't know.
I was your college roommate.
I don't know
for,
what you're talking
for
about
years.
At all.
I'm pretty sure I've heard you reading a Kindle a couple of times.
And I you, Jamie. Wow, we're getting weird here real fast. So one of the other, so it's a you know, color IPS screen, Gorilla Glass, which is it's glass by Corning that you know. Unbreakable, unscratchable, uh-huh. quote unquote. You know, obviously nothing is unbreakable, but
right.
ultra strong, thin, lightweight glass. It's built on the Android operating system, but what Amazon did was they basically just took the code from Android and pretty much built their own OS. So mm-hmm. this is not like anything you've ever seen on any Android phone. It's not like anything you've seen on the Android tablets and Honeycomb. It's basically Amazon's own operating system.
Mm-hmm.
And online, I don't know if you saw any of this.
Yeah,
but
I watched a little bit of it.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple interface. You mm-hmm. know, they have a screen on the top that is all your most recent viewed movies, TV shows,
so
books.
Sort of, it's reminiscent like of... the album cover flow.
It's very similar to cover flow. Yeah, it looks very similar to that.
But they'll have like, here's the book you are reading, here's the movie you just watched, here's the TV show you just watched,
right.
sort of in order
of last used.
Yeah,
right. So it's like the most recent part of it,
right?
Which is cool. And then on the bottom, you actually have another row of I think books or apps. I can't remember exactly what it is. And then you have a drawer where you can see your applications and all that stuff. Comes with the Amazon App Store. So you can download apps that are in the Amazon App Store.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have the main, like the Google App Store that comes with all the Android devices. The only thing on there is the Amazon App Store.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of interesting, but makes sense. They're really trying to create an ecosystem like Apple.
Right.
You know, very similar.
Yeah.
One of the other big things is the access, you know, built-in access to Amazon's instant streaming.
Right.
And all their, you know, their movies and TV shows and, you know, their Netflix-like service.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever used that?
Yeah. I have a Roku box and I have watched several things on it. It's great.
Yeah. Do you think you would pay the yearly service fee for Amazon Prime on a device like this to actually like look in?
I don't know that. I'm not the typical sort of, I don't like watching things that are too long on a small device.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's why I think I would prefer an iPad. It's a little bit bigger to watch things on.
Right.
And there's also the issue, you know, people say travel and stuff, but unless you have that hard copy on the device, there's no guarantee that you're going to be able to use it for that. No matter where you go. I mean,
very
obviously,
true.
we want there to be a ubiquitous Wi-Fi everywhere. That's the dream.
Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't, even in the advertised airports and city centers, it doesn't always work well.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. No, that's a good point. I think for me, one of the drawbacks, I think, is actually, I like the smaller form factor, but I feel 7 inches is actually too small.
Mm-hmm.
You know, watching, it's 7 inches is great. You can hold it in your hand.
I've heard that from several girls.
Wow.
No, that was
Jamie's Kindle.
Cut it out.
There will be no cutting that out at all. Welcome to the wonderful world of live to digital podcasting. So, you know, holding.
And I was talking about the iPad.
So
10
course,
inches
yeah,
is too
right,
small,
right.
is what they're
Absolutely.
Saying. Isn't it?
It's lightweight, it's nice, it's easy to hold, you know, but as far as viewing, it's a little small to, I think, to be, you know, it reminds me of the portable DVD players that, you know,
yeah.
people used to have.
Uh-huh.
People used, that's so weird, it was only a couple of years ago,
yeah.
right? But, like, nobody has those anymore. But
My
I
mom
think, like,
still has one.
The bigger ones of those were 7-inch screens.
Yeah.
And I always found those to be really small.
Well, I find it odd for people to watch anything of length on their phone or on like the PSP. Anything of significant length, like it just doesn't do it for me. You know,
right? Yeah. I mean, I guess a TV show, maybe a 30-minute show.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a beautiful display. So it's also very crisp and very bright. So it's going to... It's a little different than watching those old DVD players with the right. backlit LCD screens and stuff like that, yeah. you know? So I think that will be better. I do find, you know, I have found like just with like holding the iPad and stuff like that. By the way, the iPad is a 9.7-inch screen. The Galaxy Tab is 10.1. That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
As far as like size goes. But I think it's all about the weight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and in an ideal world, I think it would be awesome to have a 9.7 or 10-inch screen that weighed as much as like this little 7-inch, mm-hmm. you know, Kindle. Because that's the dream, I think, for right. a device like this. Because I don't think size-wise, I mean, yeah, you can grab it with you. You could take it, you know, throw it in your bag or throw it in your pocket. But really, you have a phone with a 4-inch screen. So then you need to carry around another device with a 7-inch screen. Yeah. You know, I feel like a tablet is really for... I mean, I do see people... You know, it's actually crazy. This is off the subject a little bit, but I see people out and about carrying their iPads.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
Like, recently, in the past few months, I've started to see it more and more. Like, just at a store, you know, at the Bloomingdale's, I saw a guy carrying around his iPad. It's really weird.
Yeah. We're living in the future, man.
I know. I know. But would you... Like, I would never carry around my iPad like that. Like, just carry it around to the mall.
Right.
Like, I have my phone.
Scott, there are people that bring their dogs to the mall. I mean,
that's true.
And there are people that want you to see them with an iPad.
Yes, we also do live in Los Angeles. Yeah. So there is the
I still have to say, I think the Kindle, primarily, even with the new... with the new...
The main Kindle? Like, the original?
Yeah, well, even the just new one. General. Even the new one, the Touch one or whatever, the Fire, is primarily a reading device. And mm-hmm. it does that better than any other device. I haven't used the Touch one yet, so I have no
right,
idea
right.
if it's going to be that different from the iPad. But I think it's much more efficient on a Kindle than on an iPad. Like reading, I'm excited to see because I love looking at magazines on the iPad. That's great.
Right.
So putting that world into it is great.
Yeah.
Anything with pictures, I guess.
I mean, I think I guess it was smart to stay in that 7-inch form factor to get people who are already Kindle users. They're like, oh, this is an upgrade to what I already have and what I'm already used to, you know?
Well, no, there's also an evolution in that sort of in the magazine publishing era, business. Where they have evolved, so if you look at these iPad versions of whatever magazine, they're very they're multimedia and it's
right. There's video and so, there's some audio clips in there.
Right,
and,
so they're yeah. missing out by not having access as a device that is primarily leading people to
true.
Books and whatever. They're missing out by not having that option, and that's what's good about having the new.
Yeah.
The new version, but I still like looking at the e-ink, and maybe I'm just old-fashioned. Like, it's not, it doesn't...
It's
not,
different.
That could never say
on
that,
the eyes.
That my iPad has hurt my eyes. I don't think it ever really has. But I have stared at a computer all day, and it's hurt my eyes.
Yeah, no, I personally think it feels different when you're reading something with the e-ink or mm-hmm. a regular book and the backlit screen. There's some process, obviously, that goes on in your brain
yeah.
that it actually feels different while reading, and it makes me a little not as comfortable, I think. And maybe it's just because something is actually blaring into your eye
right.
As opposed to you, you know, looking into something.
Right.
I mean, you're obviously doing a combination of both,
yeah.
you know, in and out of looking. I don't know what I'm saying right now.
Speaking of blaring into your eye...
Blaring into my eye.
3D glasses.
Oh, 3D glasses. We'll get to that.
Okay.
We're going to get to that.
I'm trying to.
No, that was a good segue. That was actually, that would have been a great segue, but we're not there yet. That was
Speaking
good,
of segues, you know, you can take a tour of Los Angeles
on the segue, which we're all going to do after this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone in Los Angeles wants to join us, we will not be doing that. two other Kindle related, or three other Kindle related. This was, you know, this was the big news of the week. So They also have their built-in web browser in the Kindle Fire. Mm-hmm. And they did something a little different. It's not crazy unprecedented, but the way it works is they're using their their cloud servers, their whole cloud infrastructure to cache and process web pages before they get down to your device. So your device doesn't have to use its resources as much as another browser.
So does that speed it up?
It's supposed to speed it up. I haven't tried it, so I don't know. Now, there's other browsers out there that have done something similar. There's this browser called Skyfire out there, which did something very similar. It would cache up and then deliver it to your device. So, you know, one of the examples they give is you're looking at a web page and there's a, you know, an image on the site that is pretty high resolution, but it's on your screen. You're never going to see it at that high resolution, it's embedded in the page, so it's only a certain size. Mm-hmm. So on the server side, it will only push down the smaller version cached of that image, so it gets to your device a whole lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it probably is a nice experience. I'm curious as to how much faster mm-hmm. it is. I would like to play with it, and I haven't, you know.
Right.
But that's a nice advantage to having a browser that's really speedy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And supposedly quicker. And obviously using less resources of your device is always nice.
Right.
You know, so curious to see.
Remember when it took like almost a day to download a picture?
I know.
We were alive then.
Alive. We were in college.
I know. That's depressing.
We were adults.
And dude. Now, if it doesn't happen within 5 seconds, I start getting mad.
It's very true. What else about the Kindle?
Oh, Flash, is that a big deal?
I mean, they didn't really talk much about it, uh-huh. but I'm sure it's going to be Flash enabled.
Yeah.
You know, as most of the Android browsers have been.
Right.
And I don't know what technology they use for their streaming videos. Uh-huh. And I don't know if that's Flash-based on the device itself.
Right.
It's obviously integrated and built in, so yeah. I'm not 100% sure. So we'll see. The thing is, they don't care because they don't want you to be using, you know, Flash video on other sites.
Right.
Like they want you to be in they want you to watch videos.
Be in their store. Yeah.
You know, in their store. It's going to be integrated with the Amazon Music Service, which launched earlier this year.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you're going to have full access to that. Now, the device itself only has 8 gigs of storage on it. So it's really, you know, it's not meant to store your media.
Right.
You know, 8 gigs is not that much. It's
no.
2 HD movies, you know. It's
Yeah, it's...
It's nothing.
Right.
So they really want it to be all cloud-based device. So it does limit you, you know, when
yeah,
you're
out and
about.
Yeah, that's my only... I really like the idea of cloud-based stuff, but my only problem is what if I'm in the middle of the mountains somewhere and I can't get a signal?
Right.
Then I don't have access to...
Right.
And the whole reason I brought it with me was to listen
right.
to music
you,
or
I mean,
watch
like,
something.
In that instance, you really wouldn't be able to use a device like this. You would,
yeah.
I mean, you'd be able to use it to read.
You would
it could store
use
a ton of
your
books.
Kindle for kindling. Because you're out in the woods.
You would actually. This is very true. Very true. Now, there were a couple other devices. There's the Kindle Touch
mm-hmm.
was their other device that they came out with. Very similar to the new Nook Touch. I don't know if you've seen that.
No.
But
oh, that's the Barnes & Noble.
The Barnes & Noble, you know, the e-ink display, infrared touch sensors on it. So it, you know, it's similar to the Kindle, but no keyboard
mm-hmm.
and no navigation controls. It's all touch-based. Great form factor. I think it looks really nice. I mean, imagine the Kindle that you have without that keyboard on there.
Yeah. Awesome.
Pretty nice.
I mean, how
small
it, like
and,
the classic Kindle keyboard use is so... You barely use it, you know? You find what you want to download, you download it, and then you're staring at that keyboard saying, why is this here?
Right. I mean, now you're going to have the options. They have the Kindle Touch, which is going to be $99, which, I mean, I think that's a fantastic price point. You know, $99, that's great.
Yeah.
Then there's the classic Kindle, which is going to be $79, also no keyboard anymore,
wow.
but not touchscreen. So they, you know, they're going to have that. Then they're going to have the Kindle keyboard, which you can still get.
Wait, no keyboard, but not touchscreen. So
no,
it's all
like a little navigation display
oh, okay,
at the bottom.
Okay.
You know, like a little navigator
right, yeah,
button,
yeah.
I guess, that you can navigate with. Then the Kindle keyboard and the Kindle keyboard 3G and
how much
the Kindle Touch 3G. There's so many. So the price points are Kindle 79, Kindle Touch 99, Kindle Touch 3G 149. So the regular the 99 is just Wi-Fi only.
Okay.
For the touch, for the reader. Kindle Keyboard, $99. Kindle Keyboard 3G, $139. And then the Kindle Fire, and this is the other huge thing, $199.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing price point.
Great price point. And I think that you have your really... I think it's really the first iPad competitor just because of the branding. That price point. Yeah, and the brand.
Yeah,
because people love the Kindle.
People love, and yeah, they love Amazon.
And Kindle. It's cheap, and they, you know, you have the whole Amazon store at your fingertips. People buy stuff from Amazon all the time.
Right.
That has nothing to do with the media. With their
true.
Media. It's like they buy clothes, they buy groceries, all sorts of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And so if you have that with you at all times, you can go into the store and...
And it's your Amazon access point, basically.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like you're just your Amazon access point. It's weird because, you know, there's all this talk. Is this the iPad killer? Is it, you know, they're taking a shot at the iPad. I feel like they're really different, you know, but they did do something very smart by making it simple. And that was always what Apple has done in the past.
Yeah.
with the iPod and the iPad is, you know, they made it easy to use, you know. Make it a multimedia device. It's not a computer. It's not a computer competitor. This is a multimedia, reading books, listening to music, viewing movies, surfing the web.
Do you think that they made this launch too complicated by introducing so many devices
they might
all
have.
At once?
They might have. It's possible. Obviously, you know, I kind of think that they might have. You know, I think... If they would have just done Kindle Fire and promoted the hell out of just that, you know, maybe it would have been smarter.
Right.
I'm not sure. People are buying these already, you know,
yeah.
So we'll see. I got a feeling this thing's going to be
Did
sold out.
Did you buy
out.
One?
Yeah, I ordered one. So I'll get a full-on hands-on review when I get it.
Nice.
Which will be pretty cool. I'm curious because, like, right now when I'm at home, you know, I have the touchpad. Which I got as my tablet, you know, and I actually been using it quite a bit at home. It's on the couch. I pick it up. I'll look up something on the web.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll toss it back on the couch.
Use
it with one hand while I'm laying in bed. In the morning, I read the news. Wow, I don't like where this episode's going. There's just weirdness here. you know, when I'm there and I'm you know, I'm holding it and watching TV and looking up something, I do feel it's a little cumbersome, you know?
Right.
I do get that feeling. And so maybe a 7-inch that's almost like an extended remote control.
Right.
Would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, that it's like, you know, it's just part of the living room.
Yeah. That's the size itself, I think, for me is a huge selling point.
Yeah.
Other than watching. Really.
Do you
any sort of streaming
now?
Video.
Do you think you would replace your regular Kindle with something like this?
I don't
use
know.
A Kindle,
I like the e-ink.
Yeah.
So I would have to see
what reading
something that's purely text based
sure.
is like.
Yeah. Gotcha. Makes sense. All right. Well, we'll see. You know, once I get mine, we're definitely gonna see where that comes in. Just an aside. It's supposed to ship the middle of November. When I ordered mine, I think they were it was starting like November 15th or something or 13th, and it was moving forward as people ordered them. So I think my ship date was around the 19th when I put my order in. So I
should have it on the Thanksgiving table. Your turkey will be stuffed with a Kindle.
Gobble gobble. I'm hoping I get it maybe a little early. Sometimes with these Amazon pre-sales, you actually end up getting it a lot earlier than they say, especially when you order it like one of the first people to order them.
Right.
So I do have a feeling that this thing is going to be one of those holiday items that sells out.
It's poised to be the
big holiday. And, you know, Amazon's promoting the hell out of it on their homepage and stuff. So another just quick Amazon thing, aside because we're gonna.
Piranhas are great.
Yes.
Just talking
we like
about
the jungle
Amazon.
And the the Amazonian people. Let me tell you,
they are tall,
fantastic people. You ever shake one of those guys? Never mind. Hands.
Yeah.
Hands. there's some rumors on the web that Amazon was in talks to buy the Web OS, the HP TouchPad mm-hmm. OS that was on the Palm Pre and the HP TouchPad. I find it a very strange rumor, but it's kind of been circulating the blogosphere out there. And it wouldn't make much sense. They spent a lot of time and money and energy developing this OS for the Kindle.
Right.
I don't know why they would buy another one, but you know, we'll see. There'll be more info on that as we move on. Now, to what Jamie was trying to segue to earlier. There was some news in the movie technology 3D realm this week. Sony decided to
kill the 3D industry.
They decided to stop selling stop paying for the 3D glasses in the theater. So the way it's worked currently and up until now is that the theaters would get their 3D movies and the studio releasing it would pay for all the glasses. So the theater owners didn't have to pay for them. The consumers didn't have to pay for them, even though we as consumers are paying a fee for 3D movies. So Sony decided we're not going to pay for the, and for big releases, it got into the millions of dollars for mm-hmm. the amount of glasses mm-hmm. that they had to
Look
buy.
All those Harry Potter, the round glass.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of money. So I wonder where that's going to lead the 3D business.
I mean, what I'm most curious about, first of all, you should know that I do not like 3D. I think it's a gimmick. And Scott likes it. It's always been a gimmick. It always will be a gimmick.
Wow.
I really think that. I like.
I know you do.
I like the gimmick sometimes, but I don't feel like it's necessary for every. Like, they're making a great Gatsby in 3D. Come on. Will I see it? Of course I will, because I'm a whore for movies. But come on.
Do you think this is going to change? I mean, there's been a kind of big decline in 3D movies. Real D stock has taken a major hit recently. And I think there's been maybe, I feel people are having like a slight backlash. Do you think, so if they don't provide, here's the scenarios that can go down. If they don't provide glasses, that means one of a couple things. One is the theater owners will have to buy them.
Right.
Themselves, which it doesn't seem like they want to in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
I mean, they're really revolting against this Sony.
Yeah, why would they? They barely make any money anyway.
Right. Now, but the other option is that they can sell 3D glasses and make money off them.
Right.
Now, will people buy 3D glasses at the theater? I don't think so.
My theory is that it's all about kids' movies.
Oh, that's true.
As soon as, little Johnny wants to see, Smurfs versus Chipmunks or whatever the hell is the next 3D movie. And he sees it, and his dad bought him 3D glasses.
Smurfs 3D glasses.
Right, Smurfs. Or Chipmunks, you can decide. Yeah.
Right.
and then, Sally now wants to see it because Johnny saw it,
Right.
And by the way, those are names from the 1950s. So it's more like Austin and Kendra. But
door and window.
Right. Yeah. Well, we do live in LA.
Would be the children's names.
But I think that's where if they can really get
the
parents
kids
to buy the glasses for the kids,
right.
That's where the money is in 3D movies anyway.
I mean, I feel if the theater owners were smart. If they were smart, you're already getting – right now you're getting charged a fee, a pretty big fee for seeing a 3D movie.
Right.
And that's imposed by the theater owners, and that's fine, and they should because they had to put in a lot of new equipment
right.
and all this stuff. I think it's too expensive in general anyway. If something like this happens and none of the studios are providing the 3D glasses, what I think the theater owners would be smart to do would be to get rid of that fee, but then you have to buy the glasses. Now,
but I don't think that's going to happen.
They might not have a choice.
Right.
They might not have a choice. You know what I mean? Because as far as theater competition goes, somebody's going to do it.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to do it. you know, and if somebody, I don't know where that leads it. I don't think it's the death knell for 3D movies, but I'm curious.
I think it's a big setback. I mean, well, you know, I mean, part of the problem is content, right? For people going to 3D movies, like what's going to get people into a theater? Everyone saw Avatar and the 3D, and that was great. And beyond that, I mean, I have a fundamental problem with it, and I know a lot of people that do. It's just sort of, it's gimmicky. There's a great article that Roger Ebert wrote about I know Scott hates it, but he says that we're trained to look at these, we're looking at a flat plane. Like, we know that we're looking at a flat plane.
Right.
And we have trained our eyes to look at photographs and paintings and whatever and figure out what the intended perception is for ourselves on a flat plane. So when you introduce dimension into that, you start, like, it messes with your, that's why people say they get headaches and all that sort of stuff while watching it. And I like 3D sometimes. I like it when it is super gimmicky, you know, My Bloody Valentine or whatever. And I like sort of like the Coraline stuff where it looks like a diorama and it's kind of neat. But I just don't think, I don't find it necessary. I see what's good about it in like the world of gaming, because you're in these immersive worlds and you're supposed to be in three dimension, you know, for if it's like, I don't know, Grand Theft Auto, Grunge City or something.
Right.
Which is like, I'm just going to go on. It's like Seattle in the 90s and you're like running around trying to get as much heroin as you can. So that you can become a big rock band, and at the end you shoot yourself. Right?
Wow, that is we don't recommend that.
Grand Theft Auto Grunge City, Rockstar. The great company is called Rockstar, for Christ's sake. I didn't say Christ's sake. I'm sorry about that.
We're going off the rails here this morning.
Anyway,
Jamie Dooner is his brain has been in you know just mushed from all the video games that he plays.
I don't play a lot of video games, but I do. I understand the 3D in that world. Like, it makes sense to me.
Right.
It doesn't particularly for every movie.
Sure.
They're retrofitting.
Well, let me ask you a question, though. If it came down to the point of, you know, there's 3D glasses, theater owners don't want to provide them, the studios aren't providing them, so the only option is to buy them. Would you?
It depends on the content.
Right.
Like, I'm not just going to go buy them because... Oh, all of a sudden you have to buy a three. You know, unless they come out with something that I am dying to see, I'm not going to go. Most of the stuff that's in 3D, I do not care to see it in 3D.
Right.
I will go see the Scorsese movie in 3D because he's a great filmmaker and I'm interested to see.
So if the content was good enough, you would buy the glasses though.
Yeah,
you wouldn't
want
to miss out, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. I guess so.
No, I mean, which should be all movies. You should go to, you know, people should go to movies because the content's great, which isn't the case a lot these days.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But that makes sense. And as the same way as you'd pay more money for a must-see movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like it's in the same realm of existence, you know, with the glasses. I always thought that there was a business to be made from selling 3D glasses. Like, I like 3D movies.
I remember you saying it years ago.
I would love to buy a nice thin pair of titanium 3D glasses that I owned and then I brought to every theater myself. I would love that.
I
would
be
more comfortable.
Also, a problem with me in 3D is I wear glasses all the time.
Right.
And none of them are good enough that it's...
What if you had your own prescription 3D glasses?
I'm not going to pay for that. I'm not paying for that. But because I have glasses, you know, I'm always sort of like, anything comes towards my face... I want to protect my glasses, so I don't like putting glasses on over my glasses, and then things coming at me, and I want to put my hands in front of my face,
right,
to protect my glasses,
right. So it's a big move. The studios are, I mean, the theater owners are really upset about it, and you know maybe. It could be a huge setback because the theater owners then might decide to not show the 3D movies.
Yeah.
And if they go that route, 3D movies are in big trouble. However, I don't think they would because they spent a ton
on the projector.
Ton of money on the projectors all around the country in every theater. I mean, they spent a lot of money, and so they would basically be, you know, they'd be kicking themselves to not show the 3D movies because of all the money they put into the infrastructure.
Right.
A lot. I mean, it's really like kind of an astronomical amount.
Well, I mean, you know, look at their retrofitting movies. All the Star Wars movies are going to be in 3D, and
Titanic. Cameron's doing Titanic for a 3D release.
Oh man.
I mean, put it this way. Look at what just happened with The Lion King.
Right. That's true.
Lion King released in the theaters for a couple of weeks in 3D. It is destroying. Destroying. I mean, granted, it is The Lion King, and I think if they released it just by itself without 3D, it probably would have done well, but I don't think it would have done as well as it did. You know, I mean, that movie just killed in the theaters.
Yeah, so. But that's about content, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So it's an ever-evolving field, I think, with all the 3D stuff, and I hope it continues because I do like 3D movies, and I think the only way for the technology to get better is for there to be more and more movies, and I think eventually it will get to the point where the technology is passive and you don't need glasses anymore, and at that point, then you're onto something, I think, really special. But that's years and years
at
off.
That point, we'll all have jetpacks, so why are we? No one's gonna be
I don't think it's that
theater.
Much in the future. They're already developing that technology. It's already in the works, you know what I mean? It's not like it's some crazy jetpack future.
Right, yeah, there are TVs that already do that.
I mean, that's the goal, because that changes from, you know, a passive to an active to a passive experience. You know what I mean? So they do have jetpacks out there.
They do.
You can go on YouTube and see people flying over the Grand Canyon with jetpacks. So that we are living in the future. It's the Jetsons. I'm going to go get in my car and fly home. Or not. There's a cool app I'm going to talk about in a little bit, but Jamie discovered a fun and random website, which, by the way, Jamie always discovers fun and random things on the web. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
I don't know if it's fun as much as it is sad and maybe a little creepy.
Okay, funny.
It's called fakegirlfriend.co. And basically, if you're a fella who is a little lonely, maybe you're like Anthony Michael Hall in The Breakfast Club and you want everyone to believe that you have a Canadian girlfriend. You go to this website and I don't know if it's an app. I think it's an app. It ends up sending you to the app store and you put your phone number in and it creates a contact for them under a false name in your address book. And, so you can set it so that it will text you and or call you at specific times. So if you know you're going to be out with your friends maybe a girl who is excited by that kind of thing.
Or you want to make somebody jealous.
You want to make someone jealous, then yeah, you set this thing up and it'll text you and it'll be like, thanks for the flowers. I hope you come over soon and stuff like that.
Is it pre-programmed responses or can you actually choose what it says?
I don't know. It'd be awesome if you could choose what it says. Because I don't know if it would be awesome.
I mean, like the key is like you leave it next to... you know, somebody you're with, you want to make jealous, and then you go to the bathroom.
Right, exactly.
Like, you know, the text.
There's a fake calls app, there's a few of them for the iPhone, which I have used a couple of times. They're great.
Wait, have you used it to try, but actually?
Oh, yeah, I've used it.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, because what it does
in what scenario?
you just sort of like press the app, like you're checking your text or your email or whatever. And as soon as you press it, it activates.
Uh-huh.
And you've set it up before to bring one of your contacts up. And it'll always be a name that is in your contact list, but it's not a real phone call.
Right.
And then you've set the amount of time that it takes for it to activate.
2 minutes later.
Yeah.
Or
so
a
then
later
so then all of a sudden your phone will ring and be like, oh man, I gotta. So if you're in the middle of a conversation you don't want to be in, like I've totally used it before.
That's awesome.
Not with you, Mom.
Or like
not with you.
That's great.
It's great.
Like if you're drinks with somebody that you don't want to spend that much time with.
Yes.
You know, and you wow.
So this is the next level, the fake girlfriend where...
Right. It just texts you. Or if you're just kinda, lonely and you want to feel special.
Right.
And you're by yourself.
Like the, yeah, like in The Jerk. You have a cardboard cutout. It's very creepy. Weird and it's sad. I don't really know.
But it could be fake anything. Like think about it could be fake boss.
Yeah.
Know, where you have your boss, your work is texting you all the time. Same concept, you know,
right.
Or but fake family member or fake.
God, my boss sucks.
Yeah.
I wish they would stop. Like, why does anyone want that?
I got to go. I got to go. There's a work emergency.
Oh, yeah,
my phone is
true.
Blowing up here.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Really deceptive goings on the.
On the internet? No way. There are dishonest things happening on the internet. I'm
can't
quitting.
Believe it.
I quit the internet.
Jamie, don't
I'm
be so rash.
The internet.
Don't. That's listen. Once you do that, you can never come back.
Internet, I wish I could quit you.
That's like the beginning of a bad alternate reality movie or something, like body swapping movie. Internet, and you all of a sudden become the internet, and the internet becomes you.
I don't think that concept only works in a movie in like the mid 90s. I don't know why. Like, it, you know, there's Wesley Snipes is involved somehow.
No. No. What would it be called?
An internet swap movie?
Yeah.
No.
Nothing.
No, I don't know. I got
it
nothing.
It shouldn't exist is what it should be called. All right. I think
logging
we're going
to... off? I don't know. That's not good.
You know what it's like? Remember Electric Dreams?
Yeah.
Or the computer like took over the house, and that was pre-internet, that movie.
Yeah.
If you recall that, I think wasn't the computer like in love with the guy? Isn't that what it turned out to be?
Something like that. Yeah. Or
right?
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Uh-huh.
Crazy. And wanted to like transfer itself into a human.
Right. Like,
that was the whole concept of the That's ripe for an update. That'd be interesting with the newer technology these days.
Uh-huh. And it's a little more, people spend so much time with their computers that it's a little more timely.
Right, kind of like a combination of the, what was the Ryan Gosling movie with the?
Lars and the Real Girl.
Lars and the Real Girl.
Lars and the Fake Girl.
And the and Electric Dreams combined. We're on to something.
Hollywood, stop listening to us again.
We're going to block this podcast from all Hollywood executives. All right, I had some other stuff to talk about, but we're going to move on to food. I'm going to quickly discuss a new food item that I partook in this week. And then Jamie D is going to talk to us about some awesome food stuff too. Yes, he is.
Yes.
Yes, he is. So this week I was at my aunt and uncle's, and we had dinner, and then we had dessert in that order.
That's actually not normal for Scott Gold. Sometimes dessert comes before dinner.
Sometimes
many times.
Dessert is dinner. Right. I mean, listen, let's call a spade here.
I mean, you should try his red velvet meatloaf.
Ew. Wow.
You would try it.
I would try it in a second.
I want to go through a list of things like a state fair foods and say what you would and wouldn't try.
I don't think there would be anything I wouldn't try.
No, you know, chocolate dipped corn dog.
Yeah, that does sound gross.
Yeah.
It does. I think it sounds gross. I don't know if I could do it. I would try it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'd like it. But it sounds really disgusting. Now, is it a like actual corn dog dipped in chocolate, or is it like a hot dog with a chocolate coating similar to a corn dog?
Oh.
See?
No, but like...
It's the specifics.
Okay,
one has to know.
If it, in my mind, like imagine sort of like a sweet sausage. Imagine a sweet sausage. Now stop imagining that.
A 7-inch
sweet
sausage?
Like a chicken apple sausage or something. I mean, it still sounds kind of gross, but that makes sense to me in a weird way.
Right.
And a sweet corn batter and chocolate. Even to a degree, if the batter is sweet enough, a corn dog, just a regular corn dog dipped in chocolate. I mean, it sounds disgusting, but it doesn't. It's not like that much crazier than fried butter or whatever, you know. Fried syrup or whatever that
yeah, but I mean
thing is this
fried,
year.
But no, fried Kool-Aid. That
fried
was the new
Kool-Aid.
Thing this year. Yeah, Fried Kool-Aid balls.
Yeah, maybe white chocolate. White chocolate would be good.
Interesting. Interesting.
Because that's less... But I mean, think about like chicken mole is a very chocolatey flavor.
That's true.
And...
true.
I don't know.
I don't know. Weird.
It sounds gross, but it surprised me that you... Like Scott Gold is always sort of like...
listen, I'd try it. Don't get me wrong. And maybe I'd be surprised and love it. Like I did that fried butter.
Right.
That was just delicious and pretty sure took 5 years off my life. But this was none of those things. This okay, was more okay. of a traditional dessert. There's a place called Sweet Arlene's out in Agoura Hills, California. And for any of you that watch Cupcake Wars... Arlene of Sweet Arlene's was on a couple weeks ago. She actually won. You know, kind of eccentric woman, makes awesome dessert food. My aunt bought a like apple cinnamon cake, and it was served warm with like a vanilla bean sauce over the top of it. It was almost like a bread. It was almost like an apple cinnamon bread pudding, is what it tastes like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the warm vanilla bean sauce on top dripping through it. I was in love with this cake. You know, it was, everybody kept, my aunt was dishing out.
It sounds like we shouldn't make a remake of Electric Dreams. It should be about Scott and a cake.
Scott and the real cake.
Scott and the real cake.
My aunt was dishing out like these tiny little slices of it, and everybody was devouring it.
It sounds really good.
Next thing I knew that, you know, half the cake is gone, and I'm sitting there staring at the table, and there's half a cake left. And the only thing I kept thinking was, I could finish that. I could take that down right now. I would feel horrible afterwards, but that's how good it was. It was just like, it was nice because it was...
Were there any nuts in it or anything like that?
No. It was really like an apple cinnamon bread pudding is really what it tasted like, and the consistency right. was very similar to that.
What about the cinnamon ratio? Was it over cinnamony?
No, it wasn't over cinnamony, like... and it wasn't over cinnamony. And it wasn't ultra sweet, and I think that was the key,
right?
You know, because it didn't overwhelm you. It was just like a nice mixture of flavors. I think without the vanilla,
mm-hmm.
you know, syrup or whatever, it wasn't syrup, but the, you know, the topping, I think it might have been a little bland, maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure because I didn't have it without it, but Sweet Arlene's, got to give a shout out. She made an amazing cake. So
awesome. Yeah. I would like to try that.
If you're ever out in the area.
You know, if as Brian Bishop would say, why didn't you bring me some?
Oh, man. I can't win.
I brought you some. I brought you some of what I'm going to talk about.
You did. So let's go right into that. You did. You did more than I've ever done for Brian. So
mine is more on the savory side of things.
Spicy. Savory.
I and Scott, we lived in Santa Fe, New Mexico for many years. And in New Mexico, everyone loves the chili.
And now explain what the chilies are, because it's not what you traditionally think of when you think of chili.
So there's a tiny town in the southwest corner of New Mexico called Hatch, New Mexico. And Hatch,
Nobody
New Mexico.
Nobody speaks that way in New Mexico.
No one speaks that way. Antonio Banderas speaks that way, but he's from Spain. So when he's shooting something in New Mexico, there is someone in New Mexico that talks like that. Hatch, New Mexico, it's a small town on the Rio Grande River. in the middle of the desert, not far from Las Cruces, El Paso, very dry other than the river.
Yeah.
And they're famous for their chili peppers. They grow them there. No kidding.
That's why they're famous for them, because they know of them.
The thing about chili peppers is the drier the climate, the hotter the pepper. So you have this, green chilies also in Anaheim, California.
Right.
But they're not as spicy because it's not as dry there. So every September, the chili harvest is in Hatch. And these are the peppers that have been voted many times the best peppers in the world, and they're spicy. Incredible. They're not like habanero level spicy. They can be really spicy, but they also have sort of a fruity component to them.
Yeah, there's a lot in the flavor component as opposed to just the spicy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a really flavorful item. You know,
right?
And also, by the way, there's not just green chili in New Mexico.
There's red chili, but also they come from the same pepper.
Right.
So a green chili, when you're in New Mexico or parts of Arizona, Colorado, and Texas, you pretty much every meal of the day you get a choice. They say green or red.
Right.
Or if you want both, they say
Christmas.
Right. And basically that means they're going to put a sauce on your eggs or your sandwich or whatever it is you're eating. And it's either a green chili sauce or a red chili sauce. Green chilies are the freshly harvested chili. Like, so they're just harvested. They roast them over an open flame. Then they dice them and make them into a simple sauce and put it over whatever. Red chilies are those same peppers ripened and dried out. You've seen chili ristras, which are those hanging bunches of chilies that people hang on their porch and right. all that sort of stuff.
Right.
That's where the red chili the red comes chilies. From. And that is ground into a powder and made into a sauce. So it's the same pepper at different levels of ripeness.
Yeah.
The green chili season, that was always my favorite part of the year in
Amazing.
New Mexico.
Yeah.
And they make a sauce and they put it over everything and it is just the best thing in the world.
It's like, pretty incredible. It's something that you kind of get addicted to it.
Yeah.
Like you want it on everything. It doesn't right. matter. You want it on everything you eat.
It ruined Mexican food for me.
Yeah, me too.
I grew up in Texas and there's a lot of Tex-Mex there. A lot of decent Mexican food. In California, there's a lot of decent Mexican food. A lot of Oaxacan style.
Yeah.
And a lot of Baja sort of style stuff. But New Mexican food, which is a different kind of food.
Very different. It's its own cuisine, really.
But it totally ruined Mexican food.
Traditional Mexican food. Yeah.
Because you have the same basic sort of enchiladas, tacos, whatever, but it has this green or red chili sauce on it that is just the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
I make my own green chili sauce. There's a grocery store out here called Bristol Farms that every chili season sells them, brings them in from Hatch.
And you can order.
And you can order cases and they roast them. And so I bought like 3 or 4 cases and my entire freezer is filled with green chili right now.
Yeah.
But what I do is you take about a pound of green chilies and you dice it up and you set that aside and then you take 3 onions and
what kind of onion? Sweet onion?
It doesn't really matter. Whatever your favorite cooked onion is,
right.
You know. Yeah. So I've done it with all kinds of onions.
Yeah.
That sounded weird, but it made me cry. I was shamed by it.
That's why you have to choose only one.
I know. you chop the onions finely. I use a food processor, olive oil, you know, in a skillet.
Yeah.
Heat up the onions. Let them heat for a while. Put in garlic. I usually put in about 5 cloves of garlic.
Yeah.
A lot of garlic. and you let that cook for a while. And then you add the green chili. Let that cook for a while. This is an all-day thing.
Right. And so as you're cooking, is just kind of by taste and sight? And,
yeah. And you add chicken broth, maybe to give it a more liquid consistency.
What kind of heat do you cook it over?
I put it over a medium heat.
Yeah. Okay.
And sometimes I'll just get it. I'll get the onions and garlic cooked, and then put it all in a crock pot.
Right.
And then I usually add chicken to it because I like it ends up being sort of like a stew with chicken,
like a green chili chicken stew.
Yeah. And you can
eat that with anything over rice. You could probably put it on a bun. You could.
Yeah. I eat it with I eat it with everything. I mean, not dessert, but.
Right. And you eat it by itself. I mean,
eat it by itself.
You eat beans and rice, throw it over some
but
eggs.
But if you've never tried New Mexico green chili,
find
it. Do yourself a favor and try it.
Are there places online that you can order it?
Yeah, there's a, I would just search Hatch, H-A-T-C-H, green chili.
Yeah.
C-H-I-L-E. And there's a couple companies. Bueno is a company that sells it, and they'll ship it to you. They'll ship it to you chopped and frozen in little tubs. It's not cheap, but there's other companies that will just ship you the crates of.
And we'll try and get a couple of links up on the site with that information, so people can experience the joy but and love.
I am not describing the flavor well enough. I think
it's hard to describe the flavor. Yeah. I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, but I think you did a good job.
It tastes like the thing I make, and sort of tastes like heaven. Tasting like a fruity, spicy French onion soup with chicken in it. I don't know if that appeals to anyone. If you like a chocolate covered corn dog, you will love my green chili stew.
And there you have it. So green chili. Enjoy it. It just brings me to loss for words. What can I say? All right. I think that's it for today's show. Thank you, Jamie Dooner.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure. I didn't know if I could really hack it, as they say in the tech world, hack. No, because a lot of the times when I listen to this podcast, I understand about 3/4 of it, maybe. So there'll be a section where it's like, and bleep, blop, 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 bleep, blop, blork, blop, bleep, blop, bleep, blop, bleep, blop. Now let's talk about ice cream. So I didn't know if I could cut it.
Well, but I think this was good. I mean, you know, I was able to, you know, talk about it in a little different way than I would do with Brian. You
right.
Know? And,
well, yeah. You talk to a lame man.
To a lame man. Thank you very much. All right. I am Scott.
I'm Jamie.
And thanks for joining us. Check us out on iTunes. You know, give us some ratings. You can download it there. Check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. I'm at ScottyG7. And if you want to follow Jamie,
BSTRDMONKEY.
And you can pronounce that for yourself. Or as always, you can still find Brian at BC Bishop on Twitter. And that's all I got for you, folks. Have a good day.